Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If the search has been long and futile and brutal, and if you squint trying to recollect the bosom of your hoodlum love, you reach out and into the absence and gasp it. The vastness grabs you like an alien.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Last year, the band Dirty Projectors released their seventh full-length album called Swing Low Magellan. The record was widely acclaimed, as was its more recent follow-up, an EP named after this song, About to Die. Before Dirty Projectors kicks off 2013 with a performance at Carnegie Hall, they've trooped on here into our Soundcheck studio. Here is the band, Dirty Projectors, playing a song from that EP. It's called Here Till It Says I'm Not, live on Soundcheck.
No one stands point guard to the void without getting destroyed. Into the grid, you're immune to rebellion from within. On your head till you say you're not. We both take diamonds from the
band is Dirty Projectors, live in the Soundcheck studio with a song called Here Till It Says I'm Not. And let me introduce you to the members of Dirty Projectors here in the studio today. David Longstreth, singing and playing guitar. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
And Amber Kaufman, also at a microphone, one of the three other vocalists in the group.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Nat Baldwin is somewhere near a mic. He's playing the upright bass.
Woo-hoo. Yep.
Haley Deakle singing as well, and Olga Bell singing and playing some piano on the songs here in the studio today. So, David, first of all, let me ask, About to Die was a song on the LP.
Yes.
And then becomes kind of the title track of the EP. So do you see the EP as a kind of appendage to the record, to the full length?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad way to think about it. When we were recording Swing Low Magellan last year, 2011, wow. Okay, fair enough.
The wheels of music move slowly sometimes.
Yeah, they do. And the wheels of time move quickly.
Yeah.
We recorded a whole bunch of songs. We did it upstate in a house, and before we were recording, I was just writing music, and I just kind of kept on writing songs, and didn't really stop. So when we were recording, we had just a ton of material kind of left over.
Mm-hmm. So these are your basement tapes, sort of.
I guess, yeah.
You talk about writing the songs, and I it wouldn't surprise me to learn that the your kind of trademark vocal harmonies are all precisely notated and written out, but it also wouldn't surprise me to learn that you just kind of work it out in the studio. Amber, how do they happen?
they're not notated or written out. We just get together and memorize them and practice them.
Kind of just feel, you know, just kind of like improvise.
No. We don't improvise, but, you know, Dave writes them all out, and then we get together and we work on them, work on all the tones and all of that.
Uh-huh. So. But the initial ideas have to come from someplace. I mean, is it like, does David bring you the skeleton of the song and you sort of have to work it out?
No. For the most part, Dave puts the harmonies down, and it's already there.
Well, that would sort of explain what our friend Gabriel Kahane heard in one of the songs on the record. The singer, songwriter, pianist who's been here a number of times tweeted that one of the songs on the album, The Socialites, is straight up Schumann, hashtag in the best way. To which you replied, Dave, that you didn't quite get it. Are you a classical music fan at all? I mean, I know you've composed some pieces for the Bang on a Can All-Stars, but, I mean, have you listened to much classical music?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a time when I guess that's the main thing that I listened to. For whatever reason, I think just, like, the colors of that music and... Mm-hmm. And the ability of like long instrumental music to really get into kind of abstract states of mind and feelings, I think was really my jam at one point. That said, I'm kind of spotty with how I know it, and somehow I had just overlooked Schumann. I've never checked out Schumann. I think like he wrote mostly songs, right?
He wrote a ton of songs. You know, voice and piano for the most part.
And I think there was like a little bit of like an uncanny valley thing happening for me with the Schumann songs, where maybe I like listened to it and it was enough like pop music, which obviously is like, or just, you know, rock music, the Beatles, all that. It's enough like that how different it was to me when I was a teenager checking it out. I was just like, I cannot do, you know, that's some other...
That's some other
stuff.
We're speaking with the members of Dirty Projectors. You guys sound good unplugged. Do you do this sort of thing a lot?
We try.
Now and then.
Yeah. The performance with the group Y Music. So you'll have a chamber ensemble with you when you head out on stage at Carnegie Hall on the 11th.
That's right. You know, part of the Carnegie program is... we're making it with that in mind, the sense of trying to use like the natural acoustics of that space and take it down to like, you know, an acoustic level or almost an a cappella level. A lot of our music has these 3 and 4 part vocal harmonies, so to try to use the natural acoustics of that space on some of this stuff is definitely, yeah, the idea of playing the show there.
And adding a chamber music ensemble to a rock band, you know, it kind of...
Heads into some dubious territory, potentially.
Yeah, you know, that has been, like, one of the most vibrant parts of the music scene here in New York in recent years. It's been this so-called indie classical, alternative, whatever it is, where the musicians seem to be equally at home in both rock and chamber music. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the Y Music players are really, really incredible. We've had the chance to to they recorded on Swing Low probably what 4 or 5 songs with us on that, and then just other little things here and there. Some of the string players from the group played with us on Letterman when we did About to Die, and I mean exactly what you're talking about. Their level of like just ease in the world of classical music, like notated music, and then their flexibility, though, just kind of like playing things in the way that we do, or talking about them in the non-real musicological terms that we use.
Right, but you must feel comfortable with them. I mean, that's a part of the music scene that it seems this band is kind of made for.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I tend to think of this band as its own thing, but I definitely feel there's some kindred vibes with all those guys. Nadia and Rob is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Rob Moose, Nadia Sirota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great that they're going to be playing with us. They're also opening the show.
Mm-hmm. So Why Music with and opening for Dirty Projectors, Friday, January 11th, Carnegie Hall. Joe on Twitter asks, can we expect a new release this year? Boy, Joe is really, I mean, that's, you already gave him an LP and an EP.
What do you want?
I
hope so.
Okay.
We're working on a couple of different things right now. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, I think so.
All right. Now, Sean asks, love the piano. Would you ever release a live album?
We would love to do that, yeah, definitely. We have taped a fair amount of shows at this point. Whether it would be the kind of thing that would be kind of like a collection of like different shows across, you know, a span of years, or whether it would be the kind of thing that it's like the 9:30 Club, you know,
right.
May 14th, 2014.
A document of a single show.
Yeah. We haven't quite gotten that far, but I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Well, also just that, the music does become something else. Like, one way or another, a lot of the recordings have ended up being kind of maps of ideas that really take on a physical presence or a collective feeling once we actually live inside of them for a while.
That's interesting. Amber, what Dave just said about, you know, the song is becoming kind of like a physical, taking on a physical presence. When I see you guys play live, especially when the three female voices are, you know, you're all close together on the stage or here in the studio and you're all singing, do you get that kind of sense of becoming part of like a single composite instrument where maybe you're not even sure who's singing what?
I guess it becomes really automatic at a certain point, or when you first are singing these parts, you have to really think about your own part,
right?
You know,
but Meredith Monk and the members of her vocal ensemble, they sometimes talk about in some of the more intricate stuff. Once you've internalized, it's like you kind of forget who's doing what, and you just become part of. It's like this.
Yeah, I think
without being creepy about it, this kind of hive mind thing.
I think that is probably true for some of the stuff that we do that's like really fast back and forth, you know. You are in sort of a weird state of mind when you're singing that stuff. Oh, definitely.
We're speaking with the members of Dirty Projectors who are playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. This next song comes from the 2012 album, the full-length Swing Low Magellan. This is Dance For You. Once again, it's Dirty Projectors, live on Soundcheck.
I ran across cyanide plains, marked like a prison cell, but feet untethered and safe. I wandered out, hopeless and sad, no thought of where I'd go or how I'd ever get back. There is an answer, I haven't found it, but I will keep dancing.
till I do. Dance for you, dance for you. I boogie down Gargoyle Street, searching in every face for something I could believe. I knelt beneath 100 saints. I wanna feel the breath of a force I cannot explain. There is an answer, I haven't found it, but I will keep dancing till I do. Dance for you, dance for you. Dance for you, dance for you. Dance for you.
Once again, the band Dirty Projectors live in the Soundcheck studio with the song Dance For You. And Dave, we were talking earlier today about great records that got panned by baffled or incomprehending reviewers when they first came out. I mean, the idea that Abbey Road could have gotten slammed in Rolling Stone magazine is still kind of baffling to me. You've had some experience with puzzled critics who don't know what to make of your stuff. I mean, what has your experience been?
Well, when I first heard Abbey Road, I didn't like it either.
You, the big Beatles fan.
Yeah, well, the first Beatles that I got into was the really early stuff. Because I was like into punk, you know, I liked that energy and just how raw it was. And then I think maybe I tried to jump the gun and go to, you know, one of the later records, maybe Abbey Road or the White Album or something. And then I just thought it was so cheesy. So I don't know. It all depends on context. You know, it depends on the ears that you're bringing to it. And
right. Well, now, your albums, even your early records, you know, they haven't been around that long where we have the benefit of a generation to kind of put them in context. But still, there has been some kind of consensus around a lot of the work that Dirty Projectors have done, and there have been some critics who just don't get it. Yeah. I mean, what do you do with that? Do you think, hey, the Beatles got one of those, that's fine by me?
I don't know. I think I tend to be like pretty responsive to just the writing. If I like the writing, even if it's a terrible review, I'm kind of like, I can see that. That's a pretty good case against why this is awful and we should stop immediately. But then if it's poorly written and it's just, I don't find it to be like a very, I don't know, convincing argument, or so I'm just like, what do I do with that?
Well, now that could be a dangerous thing. I mean, if somebody writes a review of...
So potentially it's in the hands of somebody else to shut us down. So people,
there was that one guy.
Haters should try.
That British guy who basically gave us a great review of the new album, but he pretty much dismissed everything we had done before. It was like,
oh, was this the guy in The Guardian?
Yeah.
Well, I do remember that because it was actually a fairly well written from a technical point of view.
Right.
It was a well composed essay.
Yeah.
But so what do you do? I mean, you can't look back at everything you did before Swing Low Magellan and say, oh, he's right. That's all crap.
Yeah.
No, I wish that instead he would have been like, oh, now I get it, instead of, oh, everything they did before was, you know, pretentious hipster, blah, 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 something like that is what he said.
But you can't envy the critic's position also, because you have to, probably if you're a critic, you have to, you know, take some sort of, you have to have an angle, you have to have some sort of edge, and you have to, even if you're endorsing something, like really fully, you have to bring some sort of barb that indicates that you're thinking critically, right, or that you know the history or whatever. I mean, at least I think a lot of critics feel like they have to do that.
Well, you know, when we were talking with Joe Keyes of E! Music about this, he was saying, you know, critics are, in a sense, they're in a kind of a weird position because...
Especially now, in when everything is so democratized, it's mm-hmm. like, what is the role of the critic isn't really a, you know, it's not really a... is it a necessary mediator? I mean, there are tastemakers, but more often those are things like labels or
right.
something like that.
Well, and that's a question for a whole nother time. It's like, you know, when the media has become so democratic and everyone has access to it, you need some kind of gatekeeper somewhere. Otherwise, you're completely at sea, and it's just too much. You don't know what to do with it all. Mm. Dirty Projectors with us on Soundcheck today. They're playing, along with the chamber group Y Music, at Carnegie Hall on Friday, January 11th. This next song is called Impregnable Question. Once again, it's Dirty Projectors live on Soundcheck.
If there is ever the impregnable question of why, what did or didn't pass, it would help to say comfort in destiny. But I really don't, we don't see eye to eye. You care if I take or I don't, I will always hold what we shared so long to be the only love, though we don't see eye to eye.
Once again, Dirty Projectors, live in the Soundcheck studio, performing the song Impregnable Question, which you'll find on their 2012 album called Swing Low Magellan. And the album Swing Low Magellan, I mean, I've seen a number of people reference the Magellan, you know, the Portuguese explorer. The Swing Low, is that a reference to the old spiritual, Swing Low Sweet Chariot?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do these things just come to you and then you try and figure it out later when
that
it comes?
That phrase did. And then, yeah, like there was a whole round of, you know, when the album first comes out and you do a lot of press for it and all that, and everybody was like, oh, what does this mean? And I don't know. I mean, yeah, swing low, sweet chariot, that's about like surrendering to death, mm-hmm. right, and finding mm-hmm. like redemption in that. And then Magellan is the explorer. Now hold on a minute. I had an answer for this. I
don't need it.
Putting those two next to each other, I don't know. I think, like, I didn't, for me, like, at the time, it felt like it was pretty much purely a phonetic thing. But then putting those two themes of kind of, like, surrender and also discovery next to each other. Yeah.
And let me ask you about Portlandia. Are you're going to be in Portlandia this season, right?
I think, yeah, we are. Yeah, we were on tour, passing through Portland. We had a day off, and they film in the summer in Portland because it's mm-hmm. beautiful there in the summer. And
we've been mutual friends with Fred and Carrie for a while.
That's Fred Armisen, Carrie Brownstein.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. And we've been talking about doing something kind of loosely for, you know, a couple of years, and it just kind of worked out.
All right, I'm not going to ask you to give anything away if you're supposed to be tight-lipped about this, but do you play? I mean, are you?
In a sense. In a way, kind of.
In an abstract way.
That's all I'm going to say.
That sounds like a Portlandia. That sounds right. All right, so, guys, it's been 2012 was a big year. 2013, getting off to a big start, Carnegie Hall. And Joe from Twitter is going to have to be satisfied with the I'd like to answer to his question about whether there will be yet another record this year.
I think there will be.
Okay.
But, well, yeah, we should hedge our bets. We would like that.
Okay. It's been great having you guys here with us in the studio on Soundcheck today. Thanks so much and good luck.
Thanks for having us, John.
This is Soundcheck.